Good morning, everyone. My name's Jenny. For those of you who I don't know, welcome to the mission this morning. We are going to be looking at Acts chapter 16. So if you've got a mission Bible, it's 1050, page 1050. Page 1050, Acts chapter 16. Now, praise is a big part of our world. When we write reviews online, I don't know if you're a reviewer who, once you receive your Amazon parcel, you like to give a little review back or not. Every time we hit a like button, and whenever we tell people of the greatness of something or someone, stuff happens as a result. Books become number one in book charts. Restaurants get booked up. Reels go viral. You might not understand what that means if you're over 40. And films become box office hits. As soon as we talk about the greatness of people or things, there is a result to that. Now, praising God, acknowledging who He is and His greatness, is a big part of the Christian life. As you would have seen this morning, when we gather together, we normally have a time of praise, either spoken or sung. You would have seen from the video this morning that in the book of Psalms, there's lots of psalms that are written that are psalms of praise. In the Bible, there's approximately, depending on what translation and which search engine you use, there's approximately 340 commands to praise God. And we see throughout Scripture that there's different ways of praising. So we get told we can praise God as followers of Jesus by giving thanks. This could be like a game of bingo. By clapping and shouting. With instruments and dancing. By singing songs of praise. We can praise God by making a joyful noise. We can praise God using the Psalms, using hymns and spiritual songs. We can praise God by lifting our hands, by being still, or by being loud. There's no one way that we can praise God. Now, we know what happens when we praise other things in our day-to-day life, but what happens when we praise God? Now, we're going to do a two-week series, which in my opinion is nowhere near enough, on what happens when we praise. And so it's fair to say that we're not going to cover all the bases. So if in this week and next week you think, oh, I thought praise was about something else, it probably is, but we've not had time to kind of cover it all. And it's going to be part of a one-off series that we're going to do at different points throughout the year of what happens when. So we're going to look at different kind of topics, what happens when. But for this week and next week, we're looking at what happens when we praise. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16 and verses 25 to 34. But let me just do a little bit of setting of the context in from the verses that go before. Okay, so the Apostle Paul and his companion, missionary friend Silas, have just met a slave girl in the area of Philippi. And this slave girl makes her owners a lot of money by telling fortunes. That's in verse 16, if you want to kind of follow it through as I'm going along. Paul gets fed up with this slave girl badgering him and his friend Silas. And in the end, verse 18, he ends up exorcising a demon, commanding a demon to come out of her. That in turn, verse 19, really, really angers her slave owners because now she can't make money for them by fortune telling. And then so the owners of this slave girl, they drag Paul and Silas before the magistrates and before the leaders in verse 20, and they accuse these guys of disturbing the city, causing chaos because of what they're doing, because they're preaching about Jesus and because they're exorcising a demon. And then the order comes from the magistrates, verse 22, to beat up Paul and Silas. So they would have got a proper beating because this is Romans who would be doing it. They get put in stocks and they're thrown into the inner cell of a Roman prison, verse 24. And just to make sure they can't escape, if the stocks and the inner cell of a prison weren't enough, they get a jailer who is going to be there on guard. And that's where we're going to pick up reading today. So Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household.
Okay, so Paul and Silas find themselves in prison. They've been treated unfairly. They would be in physical pain as a result of the beatings that they would have received. And their situation was looking kind of hopeless. And then what happens? Verse 25, their response is to pray and to sing hymns to God. Now that sounds kind of understated. So there's not groans, but there's praise that comes from their inner cell. There's not cursing of the men that put them in this position, but their voice is used to bless God. See, for Paul and Silas, their praise wasn't born out of the circumstances that they found themselves in, but out of a conscious choice to praise God, because they continued to believe that God was exactly who he said he was. Now, when it says in verse 25 that they were singing hymns to God, we don't know what those hymns were. Probably wasn't Shine, Jesus, Shine, because it wasn't written by then. But they probably would have been singing familiar psalms to them. Maybe even the start of Psalm 8, verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And as they sing, as their voices go up, something powerful happens. Verse 26, the foundation-shaking earthquake arrives. Now, earthquakes would have been common in that part of the world, but often when there's an earthquake, something is demolished and people are trapped. But with this earthquake that comes, there's no demolishing of things or trapping of people that we read about. Instead, chains are undone, and the locked doors of the prison cell are open. Freedom is manifested in the place that they find themselves in. And so the place of darkness becomes a place of light. And a place of confinement becomes a place of freedom. And a place of hopelessness becomes a place of hope. The atmosphere that Paul and Silas found themselves in changed. Their surroundings changed. As they lifted up their voices, one writer says, the invisible God was at work doing visible and powerful things. See, praise for Paul and Silas was a small act of rebellion in the face of the pain that they were facing, in the face of fear, in the face of isolation. Except it wasn't a small act. We see that actually it was a powerful one. And this isn't something that's just unique to Paul and Silas's situation. There's a story that's told in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 30. If you're making notes, you can write that down or you can look it up. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 30. And there's a king called King Jehoshaphat, great name. And he faced a strong enemy alliance. So big enemies were coming to get them. And his people were kind of nervous about that, as you probably would be. King Jehoshaphat calls the people of Judah together to pray. And then he devises what his strategy is going to be to tackle this big and intimidating enemy alliance. He gets his army ready to go and fight them. But out in front of his army, he sends ahead the singers. So the people who could hold a tune, the people whose job it was to sing, they went out in front of the army, verse 21 says, to praise. And it says this, as they went out, singers first, army behind them, they sung, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they sang that, God supernaturally acted. And the battle was won without any of King Jehoshaphat's army having to fight. With the odds stacked against them, they prayed as a group of people and they praised, just like Paul and Silas did, pray and praise. And as they did that, the invisible God worked doing powerful things. And like Paul and Silas, God gave them freedom from their enemies. Now, the thing is, the freedom that King Jehoshaphat's people and Paul and Silas experienced came because when we praise, Psalm 23, 22, verse 3 says, God is lifted up. God is enthroned on our praises. Other translations say, God inhabits our praises. God makes his home in the midst of our praise. And we know throughout Scripture that where there's God's presence, there comes God's power. The powerful God, creator of the heavens and the earth, lived in the praise of Paul and Silas in their prison cell. And that brought about freedom. Now for us sat here today, this side of the cross, Jesus' death and his resurrection ultimately defeated the enemy. Colossians 2 says that. The battle has been won and the battle is the Lord's. But actually when we praise, when we lift up our voice, praise declares this victory and activates God's power to work. For Paul and Silas, as they praised, they shifted their focus, no doubt, from their pain and from their situation, from themselves and their circumstances to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God lived right in the middle of their praise. He made his home there. And that can and that does. And for Paul and Silas, that did change things. And the thing is, throughout Scripture, we read in different places where people praised, and what seemed immovable for humans became movable for God in their praise. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying that praise is like a vending machine, okay? So if you sing God's top three favourite hymns, then you're going to be guaranteed that whatever situation or circumstance you're in is going to change like that. It doesn't work like that. Nor does it work like that with prayer. We see that throughout Scripture. However, I don't know if it's your experience or not, but I know for me, when I've praised and when I've worshipped, when I've sung, when I've spoken the truth of who God is and what God has done, that has changed my heart. It's changed my heart when I felt bitter and angry to be more loving and to be more kind. It shifted situations and circumstances that have needed a breakthrough and haven't come. But actually, as a result of praising and as a result of worship, there has been a breakthrough. Because when we praise, what happens? Our invisible God is always at work. Always at work. When Paul and Silas prayed and then they praised, look at verse 25. Other prisoners listened. Now, the Greek word used there is actually they listened intently. It wasn't just they were registering it. They were listening. Their ears were honing in. They were fixed on every single word that were coming out of the mouths of Paul and Silas. There was a rippling out of the goodness of their praise, like when you throw a pebble in a pond and it kind of ripples out. And we read about the goodness that came as a result for the jailer. Verse 27, he was completely distressed that on his watch, when he was asleep, but on his watch, when he was asleep, this earthquake happens, the prison doors open, the stocks that have bound the people have come off, and he's thinking, God, they've all done a runner. And if they've done a runner, his head will be for the chop. And so he thinks, you know what, I'm better off taking my life into my own hands. But then in a moment when Paul says, look, we're all here. We've not gone anywhere. We're still here. The jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30. And then what happens? Paul tells him, believe in Jesus. And as a result, verse 31, the jailer and his household were saved as they believed in Jesus. There's a writer called Wayne Grudem, and he says this, unbelievers know when they are in the presence of God. And for this jailer, he knew that something had gone on that was outside his own understanding and his own knowledge. What must I do to be saved? He knew the presence of God was there. And so Paul and Silas's praise open up the door, the way of salvation, not that the man was saved through them or through their praise, but open the door to transformation. Friends, when we praise, people notice and people listen and it ripples out. We've had more than a handful of times in my time here at the mission on a Sunday morning when the windows have been open, when it's a little bit warmer inside and outside, and people are in good voice, and we're letting our praises rip. And people down Wilmot Street and the surrounding area, they hear and they're intrigued. And they come and find out. They come into the building like, what's going on in here? Others notice when we praise. And I want to say, especially when we praise during hardship. See, for Paul and Silas, their praise doesn't seem to be kind of praise of groans or whatever, but actually there's something almost like you think they're actually enjoying worshipping in their inner cell, and people notice that. Don't underestimate the power of our praise when we're faced with difficulty, when we're faced with challenge, when we're faced with hardship. Psalm 8 that we saw the video of. It talks about praise coming from the mouths of infants. Now, maybe when you hear the story of Paul and Silas, you're thinking, well, Paul was an apostle, Silas probably quite a good Christian, and maybe you're thinking, I'm not super Christian like that, so my praise doesn't really mean that much to anyone or to anything. First of all, it means a lot to God. Secondly, it means a lot to other people around. But actually, your praise is no less powerful. Psalm 8, verse 2, in one translation says, out of the mouth of infants, God ordains praise. So God appoints and evokes praise from the mouths of little children. And even that praise from the kids, the mouths of kids, shuts the mouth of the dark powers and the enemy and anything that's grouped itself against God. See, that psalm is saying the praise of the powerless becomes powerful because God lives in the midst of it. Paul and Silas, they were pretty powerless when they were in chains and they were in an inner cell. And they had a jailer who was guarding their cell. They'd been beaten and they probably weren't feeling physically strong. And yet in their powerlessness in prison, God works the impossible in their situation. And so praise when we're tone deaf. Praise when we get our words confused. Anyone got like a friend who loves to sing but kind of gets the words in the wrong order, but that doesn't stop them singing. Praise when we get our words muddled. Praise when we're feeling weak. It silences the enemy's lies. It breaks down the forces of darkness and it brings freedom to our situations. When we praise, we declare to God and to ourselves, to one another, to the world around us, to the enemy and absolutely anybody listening, the greatness and the control of Jesus Christ over all things. One of the things that happens when we praise, just one of them, is the invisible God does invisible and powerful things that sometimes get manifested in the physical world. And sometimes when we worship, what happens when we praise? The atmosphere changes and it brings about freedom. Friends, this morning, I just really want to encourage you that when life is good, choose to praise. When life is normal and mediocre and just like average, really, choose to praise. When life is hard and when you're facing battles and despair and anxiety are in every fibre of your being, choose to praise. Because our praise says life is hard and God is good. Life is hard and God is good. And just as Paul and Silas, they raise their voices to sing in prison. Lift your voice to speak and to sing praise, because he will accomplish what he has promised to do. And maybe you are here this morning and maybe you've been coming back kind of week after week, or maybe you've been coming to the Bible studies, or maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I don't really know why I'm here. And maybe you've heard the praise this morning and you see people's joy and you think, gosh, what must I do to be saved? Paul's answer was really simple: believe in the Lord Jesus. And so if that's you this morning, we would love to talk to you and kind of talk to you about what that means to believe and to follow Jesus. But for the rest of us, what happens when we praise this morning? What happens when we praise during our week? The invisible God does invisible and powerful things. So friends, this morning and this week, let's try and choose praise.